I want to take a second to remind you to sign up for the Poso Daily Brief. It is completely free. It'll be one email that's sent to you every day. You can stop the endless scrolling, trying to find out what's going on in your world. We will have this delivered directly to you, totally for free. Go to humanevents.com/Poso. Sign up today. It's called the Poso Daily Brief. Read what I read for show prep. You will not regret it. Humanevents.com/Poso. Totally free. The Poso Daily Brief.
This is what happens when the fourth turning meets fifth generation warfare.
A commentator, international social media sensation, and former Navy intelligence veteran.
This is Human Events with your host, Jack Posobiec.
Deliver us from
evil. Letitia James's horrible attorney general in New York campaigned on I will get Trump, I will get Trump. We went through a trial. It turned out we're totally innocent on everything. And he fined me $355 million plus interest and other things.
New York Attorney General Letitia James says she's prepared to do everything she can to make sure the former president pays his fine, including, she told us, seizing the buildings that bear his name.
If he does not have funds to pay off the judgment, then we will seek, judgment enforcement mechanisms in court. And we will ask the judge to seize his assets.
Prosecutors revealed in a filing that some of the false information that Alexander Smirnoff fed to the FBI, including a story about Hunter Biden, came from officials associated with Russian intelligence agencies.
Coastal Road in Gaza City, an area destroyed weeks ago in Israel's offensive. Another vote for a ceasefire.
Those against?
And another American veto.
Two adults are facing charges in connection to the mass shooting at the Chiefs Super Bowl celebration. Authorities announced Lindell Mays and Dominic Miller are both being charged with second-degree murder.
What do you think? We're all wondering this question, Speaker Pelosi. What do you think Putin has on him?
First of all, we must be sure that he does not step one foot into the White House.
I don't care about the revenge thing. I know they usually use the word revenge. Will there be revenge? My revenge will be success.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard today's edition of Human Events Daily. We are here live February 21st, 2024, live as usual in Washington, D.C. However, as unusual, we are not in the normal Human Events studio. No, we are at the Gaylord National Harbor, where we are doing a preview show of CPAC, which kicks off tomorrow. The lovely, bright, and intelligent Natalie Winters co-hosting for the first half of the episode today. Natalie, you know, when I look behind me here, we're not just building, okay, the Real America set. We're building the new America, ladies and gentlemen. The new America starts right here. It starts right in this building where Steve Bannon is going to be speaking. Bannon's upstairs right now. He's doing the Force Multiplier Academy. I'll be speaking on Friday. And then Saturday morning, Donald J. Trump himself will speak in a room just a few feet away from where we're standing right now. Natalie, tell me of the importance of this event.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. I am hot off of the Force Multiplier Academy. I just spoke. It's a great
crowd. What's it like up there? Is it good? Because I go up after you.
It is wild. I think they already had to grab extra chairs. But I always say, with the War Room Posse, it's not just the quality, it's the quantity, too. These people are so intelligent. They are so ahead of the curve. I always say I love coming to in-person events because I can sort of see, at least for the next few months, where my investigations, the angles of my stories, where they're going to sort of take me, and hearing, of course, kind of in-person the stories of these people who, frankly, have been victimized and really persecuted by this weaponized federal government. Those stories are always really interesting.
So you're actually recruiting sources, and you're having people come to you as sources at the Force Multiplier. So what you're telling me is the Force Multiplier event is itself a Force Multiplier.
Exactly. And, you know, I don't really even have to recruit because these people, the War Room Posse, they are so active and such an engaged audience that they're always coming up to me or they're messaging me if we're not at events like this, always kind of helping me with providing sources or documents. Of course, I do most of my reporting always by myself and you know, just digging down into the raw primary source documents. But I think coming to these events, you can sort of see the broader narratives really materialize. And look, I think you can look back at COVID, any of these events where they've really been trying to, I think, keep us apart, course, mask us up so we can't talk. And I think that's why these in-person events are so important, because they pose such a threat.
Well, and it was COVID that actually knocked CPAC out of D.C. for a couple of years. Yes. And really the lockdowns related to COVID. That's why they went down to Orlando. They were doing some in Dallas, kind of an interregnum. I think last year was the first year they're back, but this year will be the first election year back here in Washington, D.C., in our nation's capital. People say, why do you do it in D.C.? Reagan started it in D.C. back in the 70s. And there's an idea, because D.C. should be our city. This is the goal of CPAC, certainly what I'll be speaking about. I'm not going to give it all away. We're working on the speech for Friday. When I say we, you know, myself and the events team. Are you going to talk about a certain promo code? Promo codes may or may not be involved. We'll see. We'll have to see. But I did see there were a lot of people, Mediaites, got this huge hit piece up. Steve Bannon, Jack Posobiec, and Mike Lindell. I said, man, you guys need some new pillows. You guys need some new pillows out there. I'd be happy to help if anyone knows a promo code. But it's what's so ridiculous to me is they just can't stand that we're back and we're taking over. This is where it starts. Okay, quick break. We're going to get back. Got some questions. We're going to go back a couple years ago to talk about Burisma and Hunter Biden. Natalie Winters here, live, CPAC preview show, Human Events Daily. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the best ways that you can support us here at Human Events and the work that we do is subscribing to us on our Rumble channel. Make sure you're subscribed. You hit the notifications so you'll never miss a clip. You'll never miss a new live episode, and we're putting them out every single day of the week.
When I grew up in the hood, I rolled with Bloods, and them boys had a saying. You can't be listening to all that slappy whack, trimatazole, it's a bam ship, nippy bam bam, like Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
All right, Jack Posobiec back live here. My Patriot Supply is our partner for today's show. You know, it's like the My Patriot Supply guy, I don't know if I see him, he literally just walked by. Joe Reek was here. Has anyone seen Joe? Where's Joe Reek? I see him. Somebody tracked that guy down. He's probably hiding in
a bunker.
He's in a bunker. Yeah, he's hiding in a bunker. He's got one that he's got a mobile bunker that he travels with him, just like the armor. Remember the tank? We were giving away the tank. Right, so we're going to try to track him down, but we know the traditional media is crumbling. Why? Because they're hiding something in something big. People realize they're being lied to left and right, even by institutions they thought they could trust. But you've known the truth all along. And it's time to prepare for what's coming right now. Get started by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. There you will save $200 on essential, the three-month emergency food kits. My Patriot Supply. They've helped millions of Americans prepare for emergencies. You should be next. Sealed inside the ultra-durable packaging. Their delicious meals last up to 25 years in storage and provide over 2,000 calories daily. Eat right when things go wrong with these three-month emergency food kits. $200 in savings. Can't get enough. MyPatriotSupply.com. Order by 3 p.m., free same-day shipping. And remember, MyPatriotSupply.com. Bobby Nada, have you ever actually been to the My Patriot Supply facility?
No, but I was literally just talking to Joe about how when I was growing up, even though I was born in L.A., I loved prepping, and all I would ask for on my birthdays.
Wait, you're a prepper?
All I wanted was a bunker, but my parents would never get me it. And they were like, what are you watching on TV?
What did you think would happen? What did you think was going to be like? Was it earthquake, terrorism?
So I was
Chinese
really,
Communist Party.
No, I don't think I even knew what the CCP stood for before I graduated high school. No, I was really scared of arson, which is like unpacking childhood trauma on a TV show. I don't know why, but I was just really, I think, into the concept of a bunker. Not even
well,
for
I mean,
like
the
an
LA
end
riots
time.
Happened was, like when you were little. So
I think I was. Yeah, I don't know if I was born.
Around about there.
Yeah, 2001.
So right. But it was what I'm saying. Like, it happened, like, right around that time frame.
I just think I always was drawn to the idea of being able to defend yourself and, like, protect yourself if you so choose. Mm. And I think I've always just, even, like, calling 911 police officers, obviously support them, but just didn't really cut it for me, so I just loved the idea of having a bunker that you could escape to.
Well, that's independent, right? Independent mindset, independent mentality is that you don't call 911 because unless there's like an actual emergency, a medical emergency, it's that because when, you know, what's the phrase? When
When seconds count, the police are minutes away.
Yeah.
Right? So when seconds count, the police are minutes away. So you should be able to defend yourself. You should know how to shoot. You should have just basic supplies on standby. You should, which include, by the way, first aid kits. This is just normal things, really, anywhere you are in the country. But, you know, I got to say, and we're going to talk about this a little bit in the next segment, talking about Kansas City and some of the crime that's going on there, which I think metastasized into this shooting, that it can happen anywhere. But if you're in a major city or major metro area, it's definitely going to happen.
Of course. And I really experienced that firsthand. I think living in Los Angeles, and I think people always joke, you know, oh, you're from LA, how are you a conservative? But I think when you're immersed in that environment, and I think
there he is. Joe.
Joe, we're talking
about you.
Come here.
We're literally talking about you and you're walking by.
I was confessing my love for bunkers.
Get him on. Come here.
Take my mic.
Joe, from my pit, we had your read just now
just
during
barely,
the show.
And I was walking by.
And you're walking by. No, but we were in the commercials and I couldn't grab you. What's up, Joe?
How you doing, Jack?
Did you know that Natalie, she's going through her childhood trauma. She was a prepper when she was a little girl in LA. And I guess she was talking to you this about before. And I said, was it terrorism? Was the Chinese Communist Party? You know, Y2K was? She said, no, it was arson.
It was arson.
Well,
you're telling me your dream is to have a bunker sometime in your future, and so we can definitely help you out with that. Absolutely.
Valentine's Day just happened. Yeah. We were too late. Oh, no.
Next Valentine's Day for Natalie Winters.
Give me a bunker.
Well, I don't know if I can do the bunker, but I can tell you what you can put inside of it.
Do you sell pink bunkers?
The bunkers, no, but we can put stuff inside of there so that way you can have whatever it is that you need so you can survive. And just being aware of knowing that what you got to have, that's the most important thing.
This is amazing. This is like just of all the random things, because we had this whole other segment that I was going to get into and like, yo, actual hard news. And then Natalie goes, oh, yeah, you know, I was a prepper when I was a kid. I'm like, excuse me.
Well,
and
being
Joe's
in California, you have to be prepared with all the earthquakes.
This is what I said. That was what I went to first was earthquakes.
You have to be prepared. Living in certain places, like it forces you to look at what can happen and you have to look around you and be prepared. So a lot of the environment that you live in teaches you how to be a prepper. But with what's going on in the world right now, there's a lot more reason why we need to get prepared. I mean, you look at the supply chain shortages. You look at what's going on with the grocery stores, the cost of food right now. Hedge against an inflation with long-term emergency food.
Well, I love, too, by the way, the game that they'll play right here in the city, you know, at the Bureau of Statistics, you know, just down the way, where they'll say, inflation is down. And then they say, okay, but down from what?
Well, it was right? up 13, 14%.
And so it's up 13%. Right. But the game they play is this, that the rate of inflation has gone down. And so I saw this on NBC. It was Kirsten Welker, the lovely, wonderful. I gave up being mean to people online for Lent. So the lovely, wonderful Kirsten Welker from NBC, we love her so much. And she just, I think, if I could correct her just a little bit on this, inflation is not down, Kirsten. It's actually the rate has gone down.
It's not
slightly,
moving up as fast
but
as
guess
it
what?
Used to.
It's still going up. So tell that to anybody. Tell that to my wife, and you know Tanya. Tell that to Tanya when she goes to pick up food for the kids, for our family, and we've got 6 miles to feed under one roof, so we're hitting, you know, the big box stores and everything else for food. And tell her that inflation's down because she buys the groceries. She knows.
Yeah, no, I don't do the grocery shopping in my house. And when I do, I'm always shocked. And I have to ask my wife, I'm like, is this really what we pay per month or per time we go to the grocery store? It's crazy the amount of inflation that's going on. And so companies like My Patriot Supply are around to help customers feel that sense of preparedness, you know, help the pocketbook out. I mean, our product has up to a 25-year shelf life. So again, this is something that you get, you put it away, and it'll be there when you need it to hedge against that inflation. And it's nice having a little bit of extra food in the house as well.
All right, we got to go back to Natalie, though. Natalie, walk us through your dream bunker.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, there's definitely a room with a Pilates reformer.
Now, is this remote, or is this someone's actually there?
I don't need an instructor because I'm actually really good at Pilates.
Okay, all right.
I'm basically certified.
Oh, you are the instructor.
Yeah.
Oh, okay,
but
right.
But reformer Pilates, that seed oil free kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
So you need an exhaust.
Yeah. Do I? Well, I don't really cook.
Okay.
I like to blend stuff. I like smoothies.
So you can blend. Well, by the way, that's great.
It's very neat.
So,
yeah.
Okay, Joe, what can you do for her? What can you do for her?
Well, obviously, we can provide everything that you need for there. I mean, the only thing that you really got to do is be able to boil water, and you can make any one of our meals. Mm-hmm. It's very simple. As long as you don't burn the water, you're going
to
be okay. Just don't burn the water.
Do you know how to hard boil an egg?
So, to be honest...
Now, this has turned into a Zoomer referendum.
I like to think Zoomer of myself
bunkers.
As...
Wait, Joe, yes, Zoomer bunkers. This is going to be the next niche. Big thing.
Wait,
the
we could do a She's So Zoomer Right bunkers. X My Patriot Supply Bunker.
This,
that's
this
all
is,
pink.
You were on what... You totally missed this on whatever. This is what you should have got into. Zoomer bunkers
love
for the
whatever.
OnlyFans
I'm going
girls.
Back on March 26th.
You're going back. They're trying to get me to... I don't know.
You should do it.
I don't know. I don't know.
Why don't you want to do it?
All right, maybe I will if I could talk about Zoomer bunkers.
You should.
Maybe if I could talk about Zoomer bunkers.
My point
is,
I don't know how to cook. Even though I like
Absolute
to think I'm trad,
I
can't cook.
Nice for Lent.
I feel like this is like a fun talk show. I'm kind of digging this vibe. This is a good vibe.
This is great. This is, no, but I can't. I got literally one hand tied behind my back because I have to be nice, and so that includes on air since my on air stuff is all online. So I have to be nice online.
So you really couldn't do the Whatever podcast this month?
No. If I did, I like the way that Charlie, the Whatever podcast that she's talking. So the way I like the way that Charlie kind of his route where he was like, look, I'm not going to go in here to like dunk on and the Whatever girls. People don't know what I'm talking about. Don't look it up.
Watch my episode.
You can watch that at least. And I know you had some great clips, and I thought, but I would go as a witness to, obviously, to Christ and my belief, but also that just look. I don't know if Tanya's like hashtag trad wife or whatever, but she is trad wife,
Yes.
And I have a soulmate, and I have a wonderful family, and. I was almost late today because Jack Talk was a little sick this morning, so that's why I wasn't at the
Amidst
Force Multiplier
the craziness
thing.
Of D.C., I've known you for years. Mm-hmm. You're one of the first people I met in this city, and I'm not even saying this. I have nothing to gain from saying this, but I've always looked up to you and your family and the relationship that you have with your wife, because in a city that is so just filled with degenerate people who pretend to be conservative and have traditional values, but it's really just a mask, you are really a shining example, in my opinion, of what it means to be a family man, a good husband, an amazing father. And there are so many people in this town who pretend to be that and aren't, but there are a lot of people who I think grift off of not being that too, and they think that's trendy and cool. So I don't even know what this segment is going to be titled,
but
I mean
it seriously and sincerely. But if I did go on Whatever, I think that would kind of be my message. Because I'm not going to get in there to debate them or,
You should go on because I don't
be
think those
about
girls
me
have ever
and
seen
I would
a true man.
But I'm going to say, look, this is another way that you can live, right?
It's your responsibility to be that provider for you and your family. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. In fact, I think it's lacking in America is there's no good examples of what it means to be a father or what it means to be a man.
And let's
having
say
those,
it, I mean... You put on an episode of Whatever, you're going to find a lot of daddy issues. It's hours and hours of daddy issues. Last minute for the segment, Joe, what do you guys have in store? Anything new? Anything new that you guys are working on? Because I know you're constantly working on new things. I met your Willy Wonka over there.
Yeah. We're always working on new and exciting things to help people be more prepared for whatever comes their way. And one of the hot products that we have right now is our Grid Doctor. So these are our solar generators that we finally launched. We've been working
Grid
on it for
Doctor,
over a year.
I love that.
So this is what you use when the power goes out because you still have to run appliances in your home. And so
this is what happened in Texas.
Exactly what happened in Texas. So now we have a couple of different items available for customers that they can get little tiny solar powered generators that you can use to power your CPAC machines. You can use to power your refrigerators because we know that the grid
Boil
is going
water.
To be attacked. And you can do that and use all these items that we have because we know that it is coming. Those that are aware are prepping and getting these
all
things
right.
while they can.
Incredible. Grid Doctor, Joe Reek, MyPatriotSupply.com. And what's that promo code again, Joe?
Promo code? Jack?
Yeah.
Promo code Tanya.
We're
working on it. We're working on it. But go to MyPatriotSupply.com.
There's some promo codes that are a little shorter. I'm just saying, a little easier type.
Yeah. We got it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com.
Today you talk about influencers. These are influencers. And they're friends of mine. Jack Posobiec. Where's Jack? Jack. He's done a great job.
Jack Posobiec back here live, Human Events Daily, live CPAC preview episode. As you can see around us, the Force Multiplier event just went for a break, so a lot of the people are coming out. Natalie Winters with me. We are here, Gaylord National Harbor. CPAC kicks off tomorrow. We're getting everything started. We're getting everything set up. Remember, we're not building a set. We're building a new America. Folks, let me tell you something. The world is currently in flames. Bidenomics, a complete and total disaster. Cannot and will not ruin my day. Do you know why? Because I start every day with a hot America First cup of blackout coffee.
This coffee is 100% Americana. Blackout Coffee will keep you committed to conservative values, from sourcing the beans to the roasting process. They got you covered. Look, it powers me, powers the show, powers the Poso household, powers humanevents.com. This morning, what can I say? Jack woke up, a little stomach ache, you know, a couple runs to the bathroom is what it is. So we were on extra duty because I knew I had to get down here, get the show set up, do my story selection, get into the news of the day, all while dealing with a sick kid. And thankfully, Blackout Coffee was there to keep me going. So go to blackoutcoffee.com/Poso. Use promo code POSO20 to get you going as well. We know Easter, of course, is coming up. So give your friends and family the gift of being awake, not woke, with Blackout Coffee. Blackoutcoffee.com/Poso. Blackoutcoffee.com/Poso. Promo code POSO20. So, Natalie Winters.
Yes.
I hear from the left that all of a sudden, somehow, the entire Hunter Biden story has been debunked, that it doesn't exist anymore. They're saying, oh, you were bamboozled, the war room and Hunter Biden. It was all fake. It was a fraud. It was a phony. It was a hoax. And I say, well, wait a minute. We've got the laptop. The laptop is confirmed. So why are you telling me that this thing is a fake? And they say, well, the informant was a fake. And I go, what informant? Walk me through, did we ever base any of our reporting, or did you ever base any of your reporting on an informant, or was it on the laptop?
Well, that is quite the loaded question, but I think, right? But I think the important thing to know here is that, look, we are at war, particularly information warfare. And when I say that's such a loaded question, that is by design, right? They want to create this interconnected kind of network web of names that are hard to pronounce and all these shell companies and LLCs, right? It's part of the point here. So,
an actual conspiracy, by the way.
Yes.
The stuff that we get accused of every day. Like, it's like, yes. Well, if you guys want us to stop talking about conspiracies, then maybe you should stop doing conspiracies.
You know, Steve always jokes whenever he has Rudy on War Room, he's like, don't get into the Ukrainian names and all the Ukrainian stuff. People lose. I'm like, no. Get into it because we need to know, right?
Right. Paparovich and Poroshenko and Zelensky.
And it's funny, too, even just like analytically, linguistically, when they describe it as, you know, oh, the Hunter Biden story, the Hunter Biden narrative that he was participating with Burisma or these foreign companies, of which Burisma is one of dozens. It's like, it's not a story. It's not a narrative. It is a fact pattern. It is evidence-based. It is fact-based. You don't even need a whistleblower to evidence it, right?
These. Nor did we have one 4 years ago when we broke the story on War Room. We had the laptop. Steve Bannon brought it out. It came to it. The provenance was through Rudy. We all know the story of McIsaac and the Delaware Center. Everybody knows the story. There's no informant who runs along and says, oh, my Russian contacts say all this stuff about Hunter Biden. That was a totally separate thing, which I got to tell you is starting to smell a little fishy to me, that this informant shows up purporting to tell us all everything that we want to hear, and then all of a sudden it turns out this was fake. I think that guy was a plant.
Well, look, the real irony, or I think it's a double standard, is on full display here when it comes to how the left or the establishment treats whistleblowers, right? They will refuse to cover actual whistleblowers who come out to criticize the Biden regime.
Such a good point.
Right? Meanwhile, they give, you know, the Facebook whistleblower, the Trump impeachment whistleblowers, those guys, they're full day.
What's your name, Hauk, the Facebook whistleblower?
Yeah, the one.
Yeah, total fake, total fraud. Because remember, her whistleblowing was that, oh, I don't think Facebook is doing enough censorship.
Think of Cassidy Hutchinson.
The Hutch. Love the Hutch. Don't we love the Hutch?
Love her so much.
Love the Hutch so much. She's such a wonderful person.
Everyone's to debate, I'm down.
We love her, and we've got to be nice. It's Lent. So we love the Hutch so much. My favorite part of the Hutch's story is when Trump actually, you know, he subdues, I think he chokes out two Secret Service agents, grabs hold of the beast itself and drives it up. Remember when he drove up the steps of the Capitol on January 6th in order to actually really just overthrow all of democracy in one moment.
It's crazy.
And,
it's so easy.
And Hutch was sitting in the back seat, and that's how she saw the entire thing.
And my point in bringing up this whistleblower double standard is it's like they never cover, if even this alleged whistleblower, I'm not aware of him. You're not aware of him. They never covered him in an actual fair manner, right? He was only first introduced to the American people.
It was that's a right-wing conspiracy.
Yes. And again, like I said, I mean, you could call it the luxury or the misfortune of the Hunter Biden saga. It's not even that you need whistleblowers or several witnesses to document it. The evidence is there in terms of the bank receipts and the business records. So that's why I think to say that, oh, because there's no whistleblower, or oh, because this person, you know, isn't necessarily, say, a good faith actor, which I do agree with your analysis, that could be some level of a plant going on here. They've done it before, wouldn't be surprised. But I really think it just goes back to the fact of what he did with Burisma. Again, they're always moving the needle, right? At first it started, Joe Biden was never involved. Then it was like, well, he was involved, right, but not in a meaningful way.
Right.
Well, then he was involved, they were just discussing the weather. I always say they were discussing the weather because they were talking about energy and climate change, so it does matter.
Yeah, it does matter. Right? Right, no, so, and there's also the conspiracy cycle, and Mike Benz and I have put this thing together where it's, you know, it's, first of all, first, it's not happening. Mm-hmm. Then, by the way, you saw they did this with us when it came to Taylor Swift, right? First, they say it's not happening. Then it's a right-wing conspiracy. It's a right-wing conspiracy. Then it might be happening.
Which I like
is,
that voice.
That's where we are right now. There's a long story behind that voice that I can't tell you on air.
Oh, my.
It's a long story. And we'd have to change the name to protect the innocent. And then finally, it's happening and it's good. Right. Yeah. The final stage is it's happening. It's good. So the Taylor Swift thing, I think we have that kind of between like steps two and three right now, where they're saying it's a conspiracy, but they're also saying it might be happening, that the Democrats obviously want to use Taylor Swift and her fans for this. And you and I did an entire a birthday episode dedicated to Taylor Swift.
Yes.
In terms of all this was, of course, before, I don't know if you know about this, that we named her and people said, oh, but Poso, don't go after the Swifties. I said, fine, I won't go after the Swifties. In fact, I'm going to declare myself the leader of the white Swifties. And we're going to name Taylor Swift the Snow Queen of White History Month. And we're all going to play Taylor Swift's white music for white people. And everyone, of course, who's listening to her white music is also celebrating White History Month now. Isn't it wonderful?
I love that.
Isn't it so good? But so go back to us a little bit. This is the narrative
Taylor
warfare.
Taylor Swift is the Hunter Biden whistleblower.
It is. And
that's
this is the narrative warfare that's taking place on when it comes to the Burisma story, because the Burisma story was not predicated on an informant.
Well,
this was an informant who was interjected into the story. And I have to say, this informant now, right, to me looks like has all the fingerprints, or dare I say, all the hallmarks of a disinformation campaign, that he was spreading disinformation in order to muddy the waters because everyone was getting so close to what Burisma was actually doing.
Well, look at what their playbook was when the Hunter Biden hard drive first came out. It was go full court press on the big tech censorship and the mainstream kind of counter-programming that this is Russian disinformation, to the point that they even got the 51 spies who lied, right?
And that was the set phrase, letter. All the hallmarks of Russian disinformation, the hallmarks of Russian disinformation. Well, I'm saying, wait a minute, you want to see what has all the hallmarks of an actual disinformation operation? This informant.
Well, and my point is that those tactics, they know they can't use them again. They
yes.
know they're not going to work, and they also don't have the same level of control over Twitter that they did, right, when Twitter infamously censored the news.
So it's strategic. They don't want Trump to be able to use this in the election.
I think it's a pivot as to how they want to counter the story, much like now they want to counter on the Ukraine front instead of making the case that, oh, we need to keep supporting Ukraine because they can win. That narrative is now defunct, has been since the start of it, but that was sort of what they were saying, right? Oh, no, peace talks because they could win. Now I think what they're really going for, and why you're seeing this now, like Russia, 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 bad kind of media cycle, is because I think they're really trying to make the moral argument that if you support stopping aid packages to Ukraine, you're supporting the existential threat to American democracy. You're supporting, right?
Right.
It's like
right.
different
and Russia,
ways
and then
of
Navalny
gaming
gets
it.
Thrown into this. At the
right?
same time,
it
they're trying to throw
together.
Donald Trump in prison, and they want Donald Trump to die in prison. They're trying to throw Steve Bannon in prison, Dr. Peter Navarro in prison, 1,300 patriots right down the street here in the American mm-hmm. gulag. But none of that changes the fact, Natalie Winters, that Joe Biden's son was put on the board of a Ukrainian oligarch-controlled energy concern, Burisma Holdings.
You don't need a whistleblower to see that. It was
on
the website.
And then Joe Biden, and then when an investigation of that same oligarch was brought up in Ukraine, that Joe Biden used the office of the Vice President of the United States. Remember, this is when he was Vice President. It goes all the way back to the Obama administration when all this took place. He used his leverage to get that prosecutor fired. And you don't need an informant. You don't need no informant, by the way, no tweet, no meme is ever going to change what Joe Biden and his crooked family did in Ukraine.
Doesn't it feel like it's 2016? I always get deja vu when we say Burisma, right?
Doesn't it?
But look, the important thing here, too, is that a lot of people who were involved in that corruption, that scandal, have now weaseled their way back into the Biden regime. For example, the ambassador to Ukraine who attacked Burisma actually is now Joe Biden, one of his top energy advisors, of course, Victoria Nuland, but a lot of people who were sort of peripheral or very key.
The Color Revolution dominatrix herself.
So they're all
there. And Jake Sullivan, who is intrinsically tied to the actual Steele dossier going back to the Russiagate.
Jake Sullivan, you can't say anything bad about him. That's a tough one.
Intrinsically
tied. What would you say about him?
I did say Color Revolution dominatrix, but that's a set title.
That could be a good thing for some on the Whatever Podcast girls would say that's good.
Oh, no. Oh, Natalie Winters. No. That's not necessarily...
I tell you, you do the Whatever Podcast once, and it changes the way
you
do media.
What have you done to our sweet, innocent flower of Natalie Winters? You go on the Whatever Podcast once, and all of a sudden...
I have an announcement. There's a new platform. No,
whoa. I thought it was just a clothing line, Natalie Winters. Oh, my gosh. All right, Natalie, we're just out of time. Cut her mic. Shout out. Where can people go to follow you? And please promote your clothing line.
Natalie G. Winters. And please follow Shop She's So Right and go to shesoright.co to get men's. We have men's stuff now and women's.
Tanya
USA
loves it, by the way.
Stuff.
Tanya Tay, I think, had something.
She posted a beautiful picture.
Had a great one up there. Yeah. No, it's wonderful. Go check it out. shesoright.com. Natalie Winters.
.co.
.co. Yes. All right, we'll be back with more.
Jack. Where's Jack? Where is he? Jack, I want to see you. Great job, Jack. Thank you. What a job you do. You know, we have an incredible thing. We're always talking about the fake news and the bad, but we have guys, and these are the guys who should be getting Pulitzer's.
Yeah, I'm pretty much just going to follow your lead.
Okay. Yeah. All right, Jack Posobiec here, back live, Human Events Daily. We are on the set right here at CPAC. Of course, this is sort of our CPAC preview episode. We've got the wonderful editor-in-chief of humanevents.com, as well as the post-millennial with me here at Libby. Libby, I've got to ask you, now, by the way, I was saying earlier, we're not just building a set. We're building a new America.
Great.
Right here. This
I'm
is not just
in.
A set. We're building. It begins right here, literally on this set. The new America will be built. So this is, by the way, right at the entrance of CPAC. There's a lot going on. The international delegation is coming in. I've got the Romanians are coming up to me and showing me the books from Bucharest. We've got the Dutch are here. So, you know, we've got a lot going on. Hey, guys. Yeah, there they are. They're waving. Just giving you a shout out. No, I'll see you later at the reception. And it's you know, so today's the international events. We've got some events going on later. I believe the polls will be in later assuming the flights got in. So it's really an incredible gathering. And so we're doing the international day first. The Mother Cabrini premiere is tomorrow night.
Oh, I'm really
night.
Excited about that.
Are you
that.
Excited for that?
I actually saw the film.
Oh, you saw it already?
I saw it already, but I didn't get to see the end. And it's exceptional. It was an exceptional film. I know the end, but it was wonderful. I actually saw it with my son, who's 13, and we both really enjoyed it. We were both very intrigued by the, you know, the historical representations of old New York and, you know, Italian immigrants, which were Italian, our ancestors
yeah,
are
Mother
Italian
Carini,
immigrants.
Mother Carini, so she's an Italian nun.
She's an
immigrant nun who becomes one of the most famous.
She was on a mission
famous,
from the Pope.
Yeah, I always basically say that, you know, not just as a Catholic, but when it comes to, you know, just sort of Italian Americans, it's like with Italian Americans, it's Christopher Columbus and then Mother Carini.
Yes.
It's like boom, boom.
Yes. And it was fascinating to watch it with my son, who knows New York, who's from New York as well. And he's looking at it. He's like, Cabrini, I know this name. Yes, you know this name. So
I've just seen the trailer so far.
It's wonderful.
And so it's Angel Studios, the guy who suited Sound of Freedom. I've only seen the trailer. It looks fantastic. It's phenomenal. And I haven't said this publicly yet, but you know who might be coming to the premiere tomorrow?
No.
My mom.
Oh, yay. That's so great. She's
going
to love it.
Yeah, so my brother's flying in.
That's right.
And then she was going to come in, and I was like, Mom, you got to come see Mother Cabrini.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, what can I say? My mom's, all this aside, she's pretty happy that her two boys grew up and were like, what are you guys doing? Oh, Mom, we're burning Mother Cabrini.
Right.
And she's like, okay. You know,
like,
I did all right.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
so she's,
good.
It's like, you did good, Mom. You did good. But you know, from the news cycle, and unfortunately, you know, while we do have positive, there's a lot of positive stuff going on, a lot of positive energy here and international, because this is a global movement. But there's negative that we have to talk about as well, and that's what we deal with every morning. So, like, it's like I wake up and every, like, the first conversation I have, you know, like, work conversation I have every morning is with Libby, and we go over, like, all the worst things possible in the world that are happening.
Exactly.
Because we have to report them. And really, for the last couple of days, it's just been this Kansas City shooting and the fact that the Super Bowl shoot. So we've how do you get, right, the biggest Super Bowl in history, most watched ever?
Yeah, it was huge.
We had all the ratings on that. How does it go from the number one story in America to nothing?
Yeah.
To absolutely nothing. How do you do it? Have a gang-style shooting take place and then call anyone racist who wants to look into it.
Yeah, that has been really stunning. It's not just that this horrible thing happened at the Super Bowl Day parade where everybody was coming out to celebrate. You had moms and kids and families out there. But then you have this ridiculous, basically,
gang violence. I would say again, Travis Kelce.
Yes.
Right. Do you remember how much crap I got for talking about Taylor and Travis and, oh, you can't go after them. They're protected. They have the head, you know, the mainstream media hedge of protection around them. I said, well, wait a minute, you know, obviously, you know, I was pointing out sort of the media coverage of them. I was like, I care about them personally. You know, he's at the parade.
He was there
He
at the
could
parade.
Have caught, I mean, thank God he didn't. Thank God none of the players, as far as I know, caught any bullets. But, you know, but unfortunately, you know who did? Children.
Children.
A dozen children. And you've seen these pictures. Kid shot in his abdomen. I saw another guy was doing a witness statement today. He was shot in the back of his neck.
Oh, my goodness.
The bullet came through his mouth and then popped out his lip, and he could still talk.
And when you see why, when it starts to be unraveled as to why this happened, you can see that this is basically a gang violence situation. They call Kansas City Kill a City, I think, is that nickname. And this is what was going on. You had somebody, like,
well,
some beef between two groups.
Locals will say that. Will say that. But here's the difference, is the mainstream media doesn't have a narrative that they like. So suddenly they're doing everything they can to downplay this, or they'll blame it on the gun. And there's no discussion. Because, and I will tell you, in the first couple of minutes, I saw a bunch of people started texting me like, oh, man, I hope this isn't MAGA. Oh, man, I hope this is. They wanted it to be somebody in a red hat. They wanted it to be someone. They wanted to be able to blame Jack Posobiec and Natalie Winters and all these other people, you know, who had done reporting on this situation.
Yeah.
And no, it turns out it's just regular Kansas City violence that goes on in every city in America.
Right. We see this in Chicago. We see it in New York and Boston and Oakland. We see it all over the country. And it's completely ignored by mainstream media. Whenever they talk about mass shooting, somehow they completely ignore the shootings that are going on in our cities downtown every weekend and every week. And it's really a tragedy. And I think it's a tragedy the way that it's been portrayed. And also, I mean, when you look at something like this, and as soon as you start seeing the cover up, you know what's really going on. And you know that it's just trying to be completely overshadowed
by
narrative.
Do you remember a couple, I think it was Monday, when you know, we were writing up that story of the mayor's audio where the mayor was saying that, oh, well, if you use the word thug, you're racist. That's a dog whistle towards racism. And I said, how can it be racist if you haven't identified the shooters? If you haven't identified the shooters,
so
how can race even be a narrative?
It doesn't make any sense.
The only information I have was that they shot up a crowd of children and their parents who were celebrating the fact that their hometown team won the Super Bowl, which, you know, as a Philly guy, you know, I would say I can sympathize with. I don't have much experience.
Not that much, no.
Not never.
Like,
it's happened a couple of years. Was it 17? And, you know, but at the same time, it's, you know, you want to bring your kids to the Super Bowl. You don't want them to get shot up, which I'm sure, by the way, those families have a liability with the city.
Yeah,
of course. The city should just start writing checks right now.
The young woman who died, and she's the mother of two kids.
Mother of two
local
kids.
Local DJ. I mean, what a horror.
And so what I'm getting at, though, is that they were immediately trying to control the narrative the same way that the Houston Police Department was trying to control the narrative when they conducted not first an investigation into the motives of the shooter at Joel Osteen's church, but the pronouns and preferred identification of the shooter. And the I'll never get over that. The head of the Houston Homicide Department gets up and informs the public that we made sure to check how the shooter identified before referring to,
Oh, you made sure to check.
As though that's important. And this is a person who is dead, who dragged her child into a church and then pulled out a gun. And the child got killed. It got shot and has, like, you know, brain injuries now. It's really very tragic.
Yeah, some kind of permanent brain damage.
Permanent brain damage.
At least. Thank God still alive.
But the most important part, of course, is how the woman identified with some fake gender ideology. It's absolutely absurd.
Right.
And
so,
we see that over and over again.
So
but as
mayor
soon as you have the situation
in Kansas City, who's saying, oh, well, we can't, you know, we have to think of the sensitivities of the thugs. Yes,
right.
That's right, the thugs who shot up a crowd of children, a dozen children.
Yeah. You can't even be anything else.
This is the same left,
by
the way, that will immediately turn around and say we need to ban guns to protect the lives of children.
Mm-hmm.
And say, excuse me, there was a gang. It's like, sir, there's a gang in your city that shot up children. This actually happened on your watch, like, several days ago.
Yeah.
And you're worried about racism.
You're worried
and
about the language.
He was talking about conservatives online.
Mm-hmm.
He was talking about conservatives. He's like, there's conservative theories online.
Right.
I said, you're reading the coverage, sir?
Right.
The gangs are taking control of your city, and it's gone so bad that you couldn't even keep people safe during a parade.
Right. Yeah, and that's really stunning, isn't it? And there must have been a big police presence out, and they couldn't do anything about this. And it turns out that this was a stolen gun anyway.
I have questions about that, too, because, and I said this yesterday on the show. I said this yesterday when I did like a sidecast after the show when we got the documents out.
Yeah, I was watching
and I was just reading them. They said these kids were walking around with backpacks, and you could see the guns hanging out of the backpacks. So if you can see the guns hanging out of the backpacks, where's the cops?
Right.
Where's
where
police?
Are the cops?
This and by the way, Super Bowl. That is a high likelihood of terrorism event, a Super Bowl parade. So you know there's going to be FBI.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be Homeland
Security.
Or they Security.
At least should have been.
I 100% guarantee they have them. NFL's got security on those star players. The media is all over the place. Nobody notices.
Well, have you noticed?
Nobody
there's
notices.
Been like a real decline in the ability of law enforcement to do their jobs. One thing that I can never forget is how the Uvalde school shooting was handled.
Uvalde school shooting.
Libby, cops.
One break right here, real quick. But hold that thought because you're right. We have a huge problem. We've been demonizing police. We've been kicking good cops out, and you know what you get? You get bad cops.
Yeah.
Long hours. I'm always listening to Human Events with Jack Posobiec.
We don't have a border, ladies and gentlemen. We do not have a country. I know a man who has always had a plan and did it when he was president of the United States. Donald Trump had the lowest border crossings in the history of us keeping track of those things in the United States of America. We got to get back to that place in this country as soon as possible. And I'll tell you, it's amazing to know him as my father-in-law, because I can tell you, I don't need to be out here doing this stuff. I do it because I believe in him. I do it because I love this country. I do it because we have to win this election. When you see the way they have weaponized every system possible against this one man, people look around and they say, this one guy, really? All of this against the one guy? See, they didn't count on Donald Trump being who he truly is. And I believe, and I've believed this from 2016, that this is not a fight between Republican and Democrat, left versus right. This is good versus evil. God is on our side. Everywhere I used to go in 2016, I would hear the same thing. People would say, we're praying for you. We're praying for your family. We're praying for Donald Trump. And I got to tell you something, folks, prayer works. It means something. I believe that Donald Trump was made for such a time as this, because let's be honest, no one else without the help of the Almighty would be able to withstand the attacks, and not just withstand them, but be facing head forward, face forward, going like he is, and nothing is slowing him down. Let me tell you. They thought they were going to take him down with impeachment number one, with impeachment number two. And they were like, wait a minute, people still like Donald Trump? What? They would still vote for this guy? So they said, let's do a little something else. Let's throw an indictment his way and let's see what happens. That's going to take this guy out. We know we do the indictments. Indictment number one happened. Poll numbers went up. Indictment number two happened. Poll numbers went up. Old Fannie Willis over in Fulton County thought that she would be cute and put out a mugshot of Donald Trump. They said, Fannie, you got to put the mugshot out. This is the nail in the coffin for Donald J. Trump. I have never seen a better mugshot in my entire life. Coolest mugshot in the history of the United States, ladies and gentlemen. And guess what happened? Poll numbers went up. There was something different.
Look, South Carolina, South Carolina, absolutely Trump country, absolutely Trump country going on there. The Palmetto State, the Palmetto State. No, it looks like Donald Trump going to be cruising to a resounding victory. Of course, we know that Nikki Haley does plan to stay in. Libby, I'd be remiss if we didn't finish what we were talking about in the previous segment there, because and as producer Foz reminded me during the break, we need to get in on this. And I said it on the sidecast last night that this was a stolen gun.
That's right.
And if you look at the statistics on that, you can find numbers that vary, but 80 to 90% of gun-related crime in the United States is done with a gun that was obtained illegally.
That's right.
This is not something, gun-related crime is not something generally that is done by lawful gun owners. It's just not possible. It's just not statistically accurate or sound to
say
so.
Yeah, it's not what we see
and
happening.
I do have a couple statistics here just to read them off, you know, set the tone. 15 counties in the United States account for 25% of the gun homicides. That's out of 3,000 counties.
Right.
That's less than a percent. Less than 1% of counties in the United States account for a full 25% of gun homicides. Most gun crimes we know are gang-related and, as such, are big city issues. In fact, if mayors in larger cities were more diligent about controlling gang warfare, state and nationwide gun violence rates would fall dramatically.
Right, that's definitely true. But whenever we see mayors try to come in and start to actually control the gun violence that is in the inner cities and try and deal with gang violence, they're called racist. We saw that in New York with Stop and Frisk. This was a whole issue.
But
and
I will
Stop
say
and
this,
really
Stop and Frisk, Stop and
Frisk
really
protected black communities. It really stopped people and kids from getting killed.
I will always give Mayor Bloomberg credit. I know, right? A Democrat. Give Mayor Bloomberg credit for standing on stage at the Democrat debate and defending Stop and Frisk.
Well, because he was right. And you had, I mean, New York, of course. I love New York. You had Giuliani right into Bloomberg. It was sort of perfect. It turned the city into a paradise. But yeah, these mayors
which
are
which is
called
Rudy Giuliani's policy.
Yes,
Rudy Giuliani did Stop and Frisk.
Yes.
Rudy Giuliani was broken windows. Rudy
That's
Giuliani
important.
Was the one who cleaned up
it's
New York.
It's very important.
And so if you're ever talking about Rudy Giuliani, the first thing you need to, the first words out of your mouth ought to be, thank God he saved the city of New York.
That's correct. That's what I said to him when I met him one time. The first time I ever met him, I was like, Mr. Mayor, thank you for what you did for New York.
Exactly.
But yeah, and it's a crime. The real crime is that these mayors are prevented from doing the job. They're prevented from stopping gun violence. They're prevented from getting illegal guns off the streets because it's called racist. And why is it called racist to want to protect communities in the cities and stop kids from getting killed? It's absolutely insane.
Yeah, generally, and so this is what's the interesting statistic here, and we've got about 2 minutes left in the show, and we're going to go back to Laura at the end, by the way, just so folks know, but this is an important topic, that people are saying, oh, well, it's, you know, this violence that happens between gangs. What's different is that the public was involved. No, the public is always involved.
The public is always involved.
It's just that it usually happens in neighborhoods. So I know Philly better. It's usually West Philly, North Philly.
That's right.
It's usually these areas where the quote unquote public isn't a bunch of people from the suburbs. It isn't a bunch of people that are there
cares
at a parade.
About them.
But the public is involved in drive-bys. How many weekends do we hear, oh, some, you know, somebody called stray. They call catching strays.
Right.
There's like slang for it, but it's usually it's happening in one of these neighborhoods. And so when I talk about this, the Super Bowl parade, as horrific as it was, and by the way, we could have a whole longer conversation, but it's very clear to me, these guys, and just to get it in, these guys do deserve the death penalty. They shut up a crowd full of children. There's no place for them in society. They've forfeited their own right to life, the expiation, as Pope Pius XII taught us, and that cracking down on this. And just in the last minute here, before we go back to Laura Trump, cracking down on this, if you actually care about Black Lives Matter, then cracking down on the black crime would do so.
Yeah, and it would really help these communities out. And we already saw, too, that in the police records, one of the shooters, apparently somebody was looking at him wrong, and that was the issue. That has absolutely
ridiculous.
No place.
Absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. Go follow Libby Emmons, humanevents.com, postmillennial.com. We will be here all week, Human Events Daily, CPAC. We're not building a stage. We're building a new America. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, you have my permission to lay ashore. And now we go back to Lara Trump.